The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Welcome to the broadcast. It's great to have you with us today. You know, I recently read a book titled The 10X Rule, The Only Difference Between Success and Failure. Now, the author, Grant Cardone, encourages people to take massive action toward excellence in their business, their family, their health, and in general, in every aspect of their lives. And I thought that it would be wonderful to hear Grant's take on the application of his 10X rule to parenting. Grant Cardone is an international sales expert and author providing motivation and sales training programs to Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, success-minded individuals, and entrepreneurs. And he is regularly seen on Fox Business, NBC, MSNBC, and Business Insider. Grant is also the executive producer and star of Turnaround King, a TV program created around his motivating solution-oriented business coaching. He is the author of 5 books on what individuals and companies must do to achieve success in the new economy, and it is a pleasure to have him as my guest today. Grant, welcome.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on with you and your listeners.
Wonderful. So for the benefit of our listeners who have not read the book, I'm going to take you to make a few points, if you don't mind.
Yes, sure.
In your book, you talk about that while most people operate with only 3 degrees of action, no action, you say that to reach the next level, you must understand the coveted 4th degree of action. Could you explain to us what you mean by 3 degrees of action, no action, and what the coveted 4th degree is?
Well, let me just say that, first of all, action, you know, is the single thing that determines the outcome of everyone's life. I mean, even a miracle cannot take place without the individual taking action of some sort. Something had to happen. And if you look, the reason I wrote this book was because since the Lehman collapse, I see so many businesses, individuals hurting. I see the entire middle class slipping into poverty. We have the highest levels of poverty in the United States since the Great Depression. So this made me start looking at, well, what's happening? Why is this going on? We could simply blame politicians or the economy or the 1%, you know, the wealthy. But the truth is that doesn't change your condition. So I started looking at, what are people doing? What do they have in common? You know, I come from the middle class and my family came to this country, and the middle class was this coveted, protected place. It was like, if you could get here, you know, if you could get to the middle class and create a middle class, you'd be safe and everything would be fine. Well, we're finding out today that's not quite the case. So in the 10X rule, I basically discovered that people take no action in their life. We know people that don't do anything. They get up and decide not to go to work or whatever. Or the person that retreats from activity. And these 4 actions actually affect everyone. Everyone, Chris, does these. Kids do them, babies do them, adults do them. There's 4 levels. 1 is no action. 2 is to retreat. For instance, if you were foreclosed on in the last 3 or 4 years, you might think, I never ever want to buy a house again.
Right.
Or if you were in the internet bubble and you were investing in the internet stocks in 2001 and you got hit, you're like, I'm never going to invest in the stock market again. That's a retreat activity. I'm leaving it alone. Maybe you were in a bad relationship and you're like, I'm never going to get in a relationship again. That's a retreat. Retreat is actually an action. It takes a lot of effort to retreat. People don't think this. They think that, oh no, I just didn't do anything. No, you're retreating. It takes more energy to walk backwards than it does to walk forward.
Absolutely.
The third level, Chris, is normal levels of activity. This is what most of mankind operates on every day. It's based on what my neighbors do, my friends do, my family did, what schools teach. Then the fourth level is the coveted, massive, intense, obsessed, maniac levels. Okay, these are socially not approved of levels. But what's interesting is these are the levels that all highly successful people operate from. Massive amounts of activity.
And this activity, it can be any activity, I suppose. Obviously, positive activity.
It could even be negative. It could be a negative activity.
Okay.
I would tell somebody, look, if you're gonna hurt yourself, don't do it slowly.
That's very true.
You know, just do it as fast as you possibly can.
Yep. Yep. Get
because
it done.
At least you get momentum. You know, you get momentum to find the dead end. You know, when I was 25 years old, I had a terrible drug problem. Now, I'm not proud of that. I made some bad choices, and I had this terrible drug problem. And I went at it with such veracity that I found the end sooner than other people. I remember being in a treatment center, and I would see people 30 years older than me that had been at it like 35 or 40 years longer than me. I'm like, man, what took you so long? So it's my belief that if you're going to go in a direction, go as fast as you can. Even if it's the wrong direction, because at least you'll find out it's a dead end sooner.
That makes sense. So are there exact predictable reasons why some people fail while others succeed? I mean, we clearly see the go-getters and those who seem like whatever they touch turns to gold. Then there are others that they touch gold and it turns into, you know, sand.
Right.
And then there is this middle core of people that they kind of bump along. And so I guess the question is, are there predictable elements and or reasons why some people belong to one category, the other, the two extremes, or they are bunched somewhere in the middle?
Well, you know, after writing the book, I realized, you know, there's not really four levels of activity. There's only three. There's retreat, average, and massive. Because to do nothing is almost impossible. I mean, even a dead body decomposes.
That's true.
So now, if I wrote the book again today, and we've had, I mean, tremendous feedbacks from adults, extremely successful entrepreneurs, people that run billion-dollar companies to startup companies, to teenagers. We had a group of teenagers, 125 teenagers, 15 years old, read the book, do an essay on it for summer school, okay? And we've seen the kind of results these kids are getting to get focused on their goals and their dreams and really start thinking big and get approval to do things in a big, big way, in a giant way, like to not just be hanging around the house. I mean, I use this on my 2-year-old, my 4-year-old. I'm like, look, if you're going to go at something, go at it big. If you're going to cry, cry big. So when you study enough people, for instance, the middle class is a great and easy project to study. The middle class is failing today, and this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The middle class in America is failing today because it's based on the concept of average. Even the term middle class, it's in the middle. You know, it's to get a good enough job, save just enough money, invest just enough, and have enough time off. It's a fantasy. It doesn't even exist. You know, and everything's fine with the middle class as long as everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, something like a Lehman collapse happens, which I know there'll be another Lehman collapse in our lifetime, you and I will experience, if we live long enough, maybe 15 or 20 years, we will experience in this country another devastating economic contraction. And that, it is that moment when everybody realizes, oh my gosh, I didn't make enough, I didn't save enough, I didn't do enough. It's when a new product walks into the marketplace. For instance, BlackBerry, the BlackBerry, the RIM product, the BlackBerry phone that was, it owned the market years ago.
Yep.
The players come in. See, they rested on their laurels. They started taking average amounts of activity, and they took their position for granted. And we look up today, and this week, BlackBerry's being bought out by a private company for $9 billion when they owned the world just a couple years ago. See, the average, the just enough thinking is what really, what I know for sure in my life today will determine whether or not I ever have a chance to get to the other side. And that's what I'm warning people. Look, you cannot operate on normal anymore. There is no such thing as average or normal. And if you're operating at that level, you're at risk.
That makes infinite sense to me, both the concept as well as the examples that you brought about. I too agree that there will be another Lehman collapse. Who knows what that name would be? But you don't have to look at the name. You have to look at the underlying factors that take one there. And Lehman wasn't a collapse that happened to anybody's surprise. It was an accident waiting to happen. And again, you know, you're the BlackBerry thing, and I guess they had not looked at their peers, what Nokia had, that they owned the telephone market, and they lost it, and then RIM lost theirs as well. So resting on the laurels, thinking that that's good enough when it really isn't, is something that we as business people, we as people, and we as parents need to be very mindful of, because, as you said correctly, we don't know if you know that we are actually going to survive another massive hit like that. Well, we will survive it, but at what cost?
Yeah. So, and you know, Chris, I mean, look, if you just look at the family unit, is a business.
Yes.
And most people don't operate it like a business. They operate it like a family unit. They're like, oh, we're family, and, you know, but it's a business. In fact, I believe it's the most important business there is. And so I don't want average for my kids. I don't want average for my marriage. You know, if your family unit was a movie, would you say, oh, I got an average marriage. We're going for average kids. I brought in an average director, you know. You wouldn't do it, and that's what America's settling for right now.
That's exactly correct. Let's get more into that after a short break. My guest is Grant Cardone. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Grant Cardone. Please visit his website at grantcardone.com. His Facebook page is Grant Cardone, and follow him on Twitter at Grant Cardone. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before the break, we were talking about Grant's book and the four degrees of action versus no action. Some great information there. Grant, I want to ask this following question. It seems as though you have uncovered a formula to solve problems. How off the mark am I on this?
Yeah, well, you're not off the mark. Look, I want problems. You see, this is what people do. The unsuccessful, okay? And I believe that there's two classes of people on planet Earth. This is harsh. Nobody likes to hear this. The only people that don't mind hearing this are actually the people that want out of the trap and have opened their eyes and say, oh, there's a trap here. I want out of this trap. I've been trying to crawl out of this trap called the middle class since I was 16 years old. My dad died when I was 10, left my mother with just enough money to get us through school. Every time we ate dinner, every time I left the room, every time I walked out of the bathroom, there was fear in my household about money, constant money. This is the middle class. The middle class is built on insecurity, never having enough. There's just not enough to go around. In fact, these two classes of people that I believe exist, the either the successful or those that aren't. Look, if my mother was worried about money every time we ate a meal, that is not success, no matter how much money you have. If you have $5 million in a bank account and you are a miser, concerned about every penny you spend, that is not success. So I believe if you just categorize simply people that are unsuccessful, because you would never say, oh, I want a bunch of money and worry about it every day, or people that are highly successful. The highly successful people actually want problems.
Yeah.
The unsuccessful people in the middle class are trying to avoid problems. They're constantly looking to not confront a problem. When the highly successful people are like, no, I want problems, they have a completely different mindset. So you're not far off. I want problems. I just want new ones.
And
I want them to be big and juicy and interesting, not small and old, repetitive and boring.
But from my viewpoint, I think this is a different mindset. What one person will consider, quote unquote, a problem, another person will consider a challenge. And there is no such thing as the absence of a challenge, because we want challenges to stimulate us, because life is boring without a challenge.
Yeah, I agree. There's no barriers, no win, no loss. It's like, who wants to play that game? It's interesting because a guy called me recently. He's like, hey, I need some help from you. And so I sit down, I start going over his finances with him, and I'm doing some personal coaching with him. And he's like, look, the problem is I just took on too much debt. I'm like, no, that can't be the problem. And he's like, what do you mean? I took on too much debt. I put too much money on my credit card, and I bought too big a car, and I bought too much of a house. I said, that is not the problem. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, because you know it. If that was the problem, and you knew it, you would have already resolved it. You have the wrong problem. It's like having the wrong location in your phone for a GPS or for a map. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, you don't make enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Debt is not anybody's problem. Money is income. In this particular case, he was like, oh, my God, man, I just need to shift my attention to bringing in more money, to producing more. And the reality is that comes from activity and action. And you see, now he can start moving in a direction, and not average, not retreat, but to move into massive levels of activity and create new problems for himself, not try to get rid of the ones he has.
Exactly. So what I'm hearing you say is that a person can make the fourth degree, the massive action, a way of life. Am I correct?
Look, they probably already are. Look, we just, you know, if you have a teenager and you see the teenager sitting around all day doing nothing, okay, well, what does he do? What is he so interested in that he's taking massive levels of activity? Is he playing Xbox for 6 and 7, 8 hours a day, intense, obsessed, compulsing over it, loving it? Well, good. Then we know that guy can take high levels of activity. The parent thinks he's wasting his time. No, that's not true. He's not wasting his time. He is completely involved, enamored, obsessed, digging it, loving it. My 4-year-old, you know, she doesn't do the things I want to do, but if I watch her, she's extremely excited about whatever she is doing. My 1-year-old, okay, look, it's not normal for people to not be active.
Right.
If you take a 6-month-old or a 9-month-old or a 1-year-old baby, they're either asleep or
they're active. Yes.
Right? Exactly right. And if they're not active, then there's something wrong. You know they're sick.
Exactly.
And then something happens over time. We put them in the educational system. We bring them to the churches. And look, I'm for education and church, okay? But something happens over time that society says, you shouldn't act like that. You're too active. We're even medicating kids now for being too active. My 4-year-old has a meditation class. I'm like, my daughter doesn't need to be in a meditation class. I need her to be in massive levels of activity until she goes to sleep at night. I'm all for more, not less.
Speaking of children, you and I are about the same age. I'm one year older than you. My daughter is almost 26. You have 2 very young daughters.
Right.
And I cannot help but wonder how much more wisdom a dad has when he decides to have children later in life. So
yeah,
nobody better to tell me than you.
I don't know. I don't know if I just know this. For me, I could not. I was just too interested in other things in my life when I was 25, 30, 35. At 55 years old, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I am just better able to, and I'm sure I'm going to miss some things. I'm going to miss some things with my kids because when I'm 80, I'm not going to be able to be, you know, as active maybe. Whatever, maybe not. But I think I am a little more mature with them. I think some people think that I'm not because I know I was recently on a plane coming from South America and my daughter was on the plane with me and she said, Papa, I want some cookies. I'm like, baby, I'm not the cookie monster. Okay. I don't manufacture cookies. I don't keep cookies with me. My job is not to provide you with cookies. Okay. Now she's like, well, I really want some cookies. I'm like, if you want some cookies, there's about 200 passengers. They're called strangers on this plane, and I guarantee you somebody on this plane has got your cookies because
yep.
Strangers have everything you want in life. Well, the lady behind me says, excuse me, sir, are you telling your daughter to talk to strangers? Yes, ma'am, I am. See, I was taught not to talk to strangers. I'm teaching my daughter to talk to strangers because I know strangers have everything my daughter wants. So she said, Papa, what stranger has my cookies? I said, why don't you go ask the flight attendant? You go over there, pop up, tell the man, hey, you got some cookies? I want some cookies. Don't even say anything else. Just say, I want some cookies. Do you have any? Abrasively as possible. which nobody approves of, right? And the man looked at her and says, baby, I don't have any cookies. And she looked at him, 4 years old, and she says, check. And, of course, he turns around and finds cookies for her. Well, the point of that story is I want to extrovert my daughter. I want my daughter to meet strangers. I want my daughter to go out and get what she wants. I'm not worried about her reading, writing, and counting. I'm worried about the school systems and society never teaching her how to go get what she wants, whatever that is, how to hold on to it, how to unwrap it, and how to keep it.
And that is so, a point so well made, and unfortunately, all too many of us see the very opposite side of that, and that is, you know, what I call the dumbing down of America, the dumbing down of our children, because we need to keep them in a box, and we need to keep them in, you know, have each child be a cookie cutter similar to the one before it and the one after it. And we forget the fact that those are individuals, and we also forget the fact that unless we teach those individuals to get what they want, they will not. And planning for failure is a crime.
Yeah. Look, the 49% of America, the richest country on the planet, is on some type of program today. This is not a good thing. We have $16 trillion worth of debt that the government admits to, which means it's probably three or four times that amount. I'm old enough to know that they always tell us a smaller number. If it's only $16 trillion, if every dollar was a second, it would take us 58,000 years to pay that debt off. Our kids are in trouble unless they do something different than we did. You and I were sold the middle-class bill of goods. Get a good job, get a house, and save a little bit of money, and everything's going to be fine. And it's not true. That's not happening for most people. The kids are coming out of Harvard and Yale and can't get jobs.
Very true.
So something's changed now. This is a new economy, and it's not going to go back to the old one anytime soon. And our kids, you know, it's not the government's job or a rapper's job or the celebrity's job or an athlete's job to tell my kids how to go get what they want. It's the parents' job. And most parents are basically trying to educate their kids based on their own fears. Don't talk to strangers. It's an unsafe world out there. There's bullies now. Look, bullies have been around ever since there's been kids. So it's my job to teach my daughters to go get what they want. Like, I give my daughters nothing at 2 years old. If they want it, they have to earn it, even today.
That is a huge point, because that is exactly what creates unentitled children, as opposed to the vast majority of children, and unfortunately young adults, and even more unfortunately adults, who feel themselves very entitled because, you know, we are better than the rest, and somehow if it is out there and I want it, I must have it, just because I want it. Let's talk more about that, because I know you referred to that as your lessons of exchange, as soon as we come back from a short break. My guest is Grant Cardone. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Grant Cardone. Please visit his website at grantcardone.com. Also, his Facebook page is Grant Cardone, and his Twitter handle is @GrantCardone. Just before the break, we were talking about the importance of teaching kids the value of work ethic and of getting nothing for nothing. So I'll ask you to take us from there, Grant. You said that even at a very young age, your daughters have to earn what they need.
Yeah, look, my daughter told me the other day, she's like, you know, Papa, it can't be more than 7 o'clock in the morning. She wakes up like a kid. I love this about her. She's like, I want some bubble gum. I'm like, well, that's good. You're not going to get any bubble gum until you eat breakfast, get dressed for school, and get ready to roll. Now, keep in mind, she's been going to school since she was 2 years old. I didn't go to school until I was 6 or 6 and a half years old.
Yep.
The first year that we dropped her in school, because I live in Miami now, I dropped her into an all-Spanish-speaking class. And the teacher was like, don't you think that's a bit drastic? I'm like, hey, 2 years ago, she didn't know English. Okay, I dropped her into English. Okay, we immersed her into English. Now you're going to immerse her into Spanish, okay? Because she lives in Miami, and people speak Spanish here, and I don't have the time to go learn it myself, so I'm going to teach my two-year-old. When she's done learning Spanish, then I'm going to teach her Mandarin. Because
yep.
That's going to be her banker anyway, Chinese bankers. So she tells me the other morning, Papa, I want some gum. I said, baby, that's good you want some gum, okay, but it's not going to happen until you eat breakfast and you get dressed. And she says, that's not fair. I'm like, where'd you learn that? She's like, what? I said, where did you learn that word, that's not fair, or that line? She's like, at school. I said, baby, let me tell you something about fair. Life is not fair. Now, she's 3 years old at this point, maybe 3 and a half years old. Parents must take every opportunity to teach kids the truth now. And I said, baby, life isn't fair. Life is bad for a lot of people. Okay? Lots. Too many people have a terrible, ugly, brutal life. Then life is good, what appears to be good for a large portion of people. Most people have, quote unquote, a good life. And that's basically compared to their neighbors. And the third group of people have a great life. Okay? Life is not fair. Life is bad for a lot of people, too many, good for a bunch of people until it's not good, and great for just a sliver. I said, Sabrina, what do you want? Do you want bad, good, or great? Because life's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's 3 years old. If you ask her what kind of life she wants now, she's going to tell you, I want a great life. Because, I mean,
right.
I teach that to her constantly, that life is not fair. Too many of us, all of us know someone that's had something terrible happen to them. Good people have bad things happen to them all the time. I know I've had bad things happen to me. I lost my dad when I was 10. I lost an older brother when I was 20. I didn't really have anything to do with it. Those things hurt tremendously, caused me tremendous amounts of grief and problems in my life because I didn't know how to box it all up and deal with it. So, but that's life. I mean, life is brutal to people. And I think people should be told that truth. And then, hey, if you want some bubble gum, you have to earn it. Okay, eat your breakfast, get dressed, and then give me 10 laps. And I mean, I have videos on YouTube of my daughter earning bubble gum because I don't mind if she eats bubble gum or candy as long as you give me 10 or 20 laps. And so what does that do for me? It's not a handout anymore. It's something she earns. You want bubblegum? You want 6 pieces, 10 pieces? You want 100 pieces? I don't care. Earn it. Give me 20 laps.
I'm sitting here and I'm smiling and shaking my head at the same time, because I did very, very similar things, and I have had people from friends to relatives tell me, you know, this is not the way things are supposed to be done. A child is supposed to be given what they want, and then they learn that later in life that they have to earn it. And in my crude way of thinking, my answer was this: I am not raising a child, I'm raising an adult.
Exactly.
And why would I want to undo something and not try to do it correctly from the get-go? The same thing as that drives me absolutely nuts, but every school does it, so I guess they know better than I do, but I could never understand why it's okay for kids to learn to spell incorrectly because they spell phonetically,
yeah,
and then they spend X number of years in middle school and high school to learn how to spell, and then you have college freshmen who cannot spell.
Anybody that trusts the educational system in this country to prepare your kids for real life is just completely checked out.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the last thing I'm going to do is send, you know, I don't know all the teachers at the school my daughter's at, or the public schools, or even a private school. I don't know what their agenda is. You know, the same parent says, don't talk to strangers, sends their kids to strangers to get life's lessons. And I just moved from Los Angeles. I moved my family from Los Angeles because I no longer agreed with the surroundings that were being forced on my children every day. So if I have to take responsibility, I probably wouldn't have done this at 30 years old because I was just interested in my career and me. And now I'm like, no, I have a chance to give these kids a lesson. Look, my 4-year-old can't drive a car. Okay, she can't go to work and close deals. She can't write books yet, and she can't go into the marketplace and be on radio shows. But she can certainly run 10 laps to earn a piece of gum. She can clean up her bedroom. She can pick pillows up. I can put little white gloves on them and have them clean, you know, because they're so sharp to the floor. I say, hey, just clean that edge of the floor. I'm giving them lessons that 100 years ago were normal for everybody. You worked on a farm. You lived on a farm. If you didn't grow your own food, your parents at that time would have thought you're lazy. And so I don't think I'm being abusive to my daughter. She loves me. I love her. Nobody thinks I'm mistreating my kids. Most of my friends watch me do that, and they're like, dude, that is brilliant what you're doing with your children.
And yes, it is. And I can tell you, for somebody who's done something similar several years ago, you do not realize how brilliant it is and how much you're teaching them. I know you realize it now, but 20 years from now, when they are my daughter's age, you will actually remember these words and you will pat yourself in the back.
Yeah, and you know, Chris, you know, my dad died when I was 10, and I didn't know my dad very well. He was at work every day. He went to work every day for his family. He believed success was his duty. It wasn't to buy him a big watch or a big car. I mean, certainly he wanted those things, but it was to take care of his wife and his 5 kids. And even though I didn't spend much time with my dad, his example that he set is like he dropped it into my DNA or something, because I saw that example that he set every day, that success was an obligation he had to provide for his family because he had committed to his family.
Exactly. It doesn't happen without that commitment, and it does not happen without trying. I'm going to get you to talk about something very provocative, and you believe in handling fears and using fear to empower children. There are those who would say, you know, it's abusive to have a child, you know, do laps to earn a stick of gum, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. And so there are those people who will also say, what do you mean, you know, using fear to motivate a child, to empower a child? Fear does not empower. Talk to me about that.
Well, look, it appears to me that ever since Dr. Seuss showed up, and psychiatrists and psychologists have somehow infiltrated society, everybody's worried about every little thing we do. I mean, my daughter goes to her first charity event, and the guy's sitting there telling her that these 200 kids, that everybody's a winner today because they're going to run in a race. And I'm telling my daughter, I'm like, baby, look, you're not going to win the race. Okay, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about right now. He's confused. Okay, you're not going to win the race. There's 200 kids in here. Many of them are, you know, 4 and 5 years older than you. They got longer legs. They're better prepared. They've been training. They've been running. They've been in other races. You know, you'll be lucky if you come in last. So I'm like, but it's all right that you come in last. But if you want to come in first, man, you got to work for it. That's the reality of life. Look, my kids, I could buy my kids anything and everything they want every day they ask for it and never run out of money. I've been extremely fortunate in my life. And I don't think me just giving them money would spoil them or giving them toys would spoil them. I think it would ruin them. I'm not worried about spoiling them. I'm worried about ruining them. I'm worried about taking away their abilities to get the things they want in their life and know what's valuable. And look, fear is real. The middle class, I'm going to go back to what we opened with today. The middle class is suffering today because it does not confront the actual fears of life. We forget so quick. We for instance, the Boston bombing or the Navy Yard that was recently attacked by this maniac that killed 13 people.
Yep.
Why does that surprise us? You know, just 12 years ago, we had 9/11. Two planes were flown into buildings over New York. Why would Boston, the Boston bomber, surprise anyone? Why are we shocked by this anymore? You know why? Because we don't confront fear. We don't confront the reality. People live this Pollyanna, everything's going to be fine, I'm going to get a good education, me and my wife are going to, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on our marriage, but then we're going to be shocked when it falls apart. It's just not real, and people need to wake up and understand, life is not fair. It's what I was saying earlier. It's brutal.
And so confronting your fears is, and doing something about it, so that it isn't a fear, but it's a motivational factor, is the way you handle that.
Yeah, like every day I wake up and like the Lehman collapse. That's a tremendous motivator for me. You know, the bad news I see in the news every day, it's a tremendous motivator. The amount of debt that this country has is a motivator for me. When I watch companies go down and collapse, like Penny's, J.C. Penney's. You know, your father and your grandfather all had J.C. Penney cards.
Right.
They went there every weekend like it was a picnic. Well, you know, you haven't been in a J.C. Penney in so long or a Sears in so long. It's incredible. So those things are motivators for me because they're actual events. Those aren't really fears. Those are realities.
And let's talk about more of that. As soon as we come back from a short break, my guest is Grant Cardone. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Grant Cardone. Please visit his website at grantcardone.com. Facebook page is Grant Cardone, and follow him on Twitter at Grant Cardone. Grant, you mentioned earlier that fear motivates impacts kids negatively. And you mentioned your own example about, fear happening at every meal, that you are going to run out of money and so on and so forth. Can children take that negative impact and somehow be channeled into something positive other than what happened to you, that you kind of bottled that up and you said, well, I don't want to live my life like that. I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, I think, I don't think about, I don't let my kids watch a lot of TV, okay? If there's something on about rapists or bombings or explosions on TV, I don't want my kids hypnotized, to all this bad news that adults are affected by. Let's face it. You watch enough of these images, it doesn't matter how old you are, you get affected by it.
Right.
And so I don't want that kind of fear in their life. I know my wife, a grown woman, she doesn't like horror movies. I don't require her to go to horror movies, even though I kind of like scary movies. Yeah. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about the reality that look, marriages fail. They're extremely expensive when they fail. I don't want that to happen to me. I need that kind of reality every day. Maybe we should change the word fear to reality. I see the education system in this country failing our children. That's a reality. I see people being shot, in public places. That's a reality to me. I'm going to go do something about that for myself so that it doesn't happen in my environment. So if it does happen, at least I'll be like, you know what? I was prepared for this event, because I would rather be prepared, legally prepared than to have that event happen around me and I could do nothing about it at all. So that's what I teach my kids, my wife. I'm like, look, if we don't pay attention to it, we're turning control over to a system and others that are either a system that's broken or people that don't have a clue.
Either of which is a dangerous place and a dangerous spot to put your trust or put the future of what you hold most dear, like your children. But you made a comment earlier on, and which struck very familiar, and that is that we tend to not pay attention to a whole lot of things until things fall apart, and then when they do, we are kind of surprised, and then, of course, reality hits, and we look at the mirror and say, well, maybe we should have looked at that and done something about it. And you spoke about marriages that fail, because we don't pay enough attention to them. So I know that you believe that for you to be good, you need to be good to others and to your wife and children and so on and so forth. Tell me about that.
Well, I need to invest time. I mean, when I see when I see an entire, for instance, I don't know why, when you were saying that, I think about the city of Detroit. There used to be 2 million people live in the city of Detroit. People from all over the world went to Detroit to see Detroit. You know, they've lost 1.4 million of their population. 60% of their population is not in Detroit anymore. What happened? It's like a marriage that fails. Somebody wasn't paying attention to something. Somebody wasn't paying attention. And when I don't pay attention to whatever it is in my life, my business, my marriage, my kids, my car, my house, it starts to erode. Like I said earlier, even a dead body decomposes. Even a dead body, it actually, there is no state of nothing. There's no state of absolute nothing happening. The dead body decomposes. So if I'm not paying attention to my children, if I'm not paying attention to my kids, if I'm not spending time and energy and effort, and I could do a better job at all that, I have to understand it's going to decompose. It's going to start to die.
And so rather than...
Why be surprised?
Exactly.
Why be surprised if I don't take care of my body that all of a sudden I have 20 pounds on me I don't like? You know, was it the food system? Is it McDonald's fault? No. It's because I don't exercise enough. It's because I quit paying attention. You know, why does my communication, like me and my two-year-old, aren't in great communication yet? Okay. Why is that? You know why it is? Because I don't spend enough time with just her. Because as long as it's me, her, and my wife in the room, she's going to my wife. Because that's where her strong relationship is. So I need to get up in the morning a little extra earlier, practice my 10X rule, which means time is never an excuse. I have the time as long as I make it a priority. And I need to go spend 30 or 40 minutes with her each day, just me and her, and we'll create that relationship.
Time is never, you said, time is never an excuse as long as you make it a priority.
Every person that says they don't have the time is a liar.
I couldn't agree with you more, but what would they say? What would you say to them when they say, well, I've got so many things to do and there's only enough time to do X many things?
Yeah, I'd say you're a liar.
Because
you're either a liar or you just don't have basic math skills. There's 24 hours in a day. If I sleep 8 hours, I still have 16 hours left. If I work 8 of those hours, I still have 8 hours left. I have 8 hours, okay? Now, there's no member in my family that can handle me for 8 hours. My wife, if I give my wife 45 minutes every day, she's thrilled. I give my two kids, if I gave them each 40 minutes every day, they'd be done with Papa. That means I still have 5 hours and 45 minutes left to do what? Write books, do radio interviews, get the world to know me, have a hobby, work out. It's just not true. People have plenty of time. Even the single mother with two kids has time. And I know how hard her life is, but we have time when we need it. And I know that's true because if there's a fire in your kitchen right now and you're in the kitchen, you'll make time.
That's very true. The many people consider lack of time what really is lack of setting priorities. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because, like what's important to me? You know, and I don't want it to be important to me after I've lost it. That includes my marriage, it includes my children, it includes money. You know, people are treating money like it's not important. I had a man tell me just the other day, you know, money's not everything. I said, who said anything about money being everything? He's like, yeah, but when's enough enough? I said, you know what? The only people that say more is a problem are the people that don't have enough and find out when it's too late. I need more time with my kids, more time with my wife. I need more experiences. I need more money. Everybody needs more money. It's not a bad thing. I need more successes. I need more clients. I need more of everything. And that's what the 10X rule is about. It's about write a goal down and then multiply times 10 and create an action plan that allows you to achieve 10 times whatever your imagination or whatever you think is enough. Multiply times 10, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get 10 times what you think you really need.
And I could not think of a better way to close this segment because you just encapsulated it perfectly. Grant, thank you so very much for your time, your energy, your knowledge. I hope you'll consider coming back at some future program.
Chris, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing for everybody.
Thank you very much. Next week, my guest will be Donna Hughes Rice. So please join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.